Thank you. A very warm welcome here from St. Pölten, from our headquarters of Hyko NOE. Thank you for participating in today's earnings call. We proudly look back on a very successful year in 2022, despite, I would say, very challenging circumstances like the war in Ukraine or the high inflation rates. We were able to further increase our earnings, as you can see on slide number four, which I jumped to, and the net interest income grew to 142.1 million euro, up 1.3%, and our profit before tax went up to 61.5 million euro. We could underwrite 1.6 billion new loans despite the strict procurement rules implemented in August in last year for private real estate by the Austrian authorities. I'm sure you were aware of this so-called KIM Verordnung. So we were able to further increase also our CET1 ratio to a very strong 20.52%. And this gives you a short overview about the highlights in 2022. When we switch to slide number five, you can see the results of our very focused strategy. We were able to maintain a very low NPL ratio of only 1.02% and increase our profits at the same time. Whereas the average annual profits in the years 2013, 2016 amounted to 35.1 million. We were able to achieve an average annual profit of 47.5 million in the years 2018 to 2022, and achieving a cost income ratio of a very low 51.69% in 2022. Our strategy remains unchanged. We focus on our core strengths, the financing of the public and the social infrastructure, on real estate and in the housing sector. We develop state-of-the-art digital processes for our core products, and we try to enter into corporations for all complementary products. Our essential goal is to maintain a very conservative risk and at the same time a very strong capital profile. As I mentioned before, and you can see it on slide number seven, we took several measures in the digitalization before. Slide seven gives you a short overview and a few examples of what we did and what we do in this area. When you look at the very right box, here you can see our in-house developments in the retail and also in the non-retail business. We are very much on track with the execution of our strategy, as you can see on slide number eight. Our midterm goal is to become the leading mortgage bank to infrastructure and to housing construction in Austria. And at the same time, we always have a very strong eye on our efficiency. Let's switch to our business profile. Slide 10 gives all of you who don't know Hyko NOE very well a very short overview. We are the oldest and the largest state-owned mortgage bank in Austria, 100% owned by the state of Lower Austria. We are one of the largest Austrian covered bond issuers. We are a reliable commercial bank with, as I mentioned before, a focus on the public sector, on real estate finance, but also on the retail and corporate customers. We are a specialized bank to infrastructure and to housing construction in Austria. And at the same time, we always have a very strong eye on our efficiency. Let's switch to our business profile. Slide 10 gives all of you who don't know Hyko NOE very well a very short overview. We are the oldest and the largest state-owned bank in Austria, 100% owned by the state of Lower Austria. And we are one of the largest Austrian covered bond issuers. We are a reliable commercial bank with, as I mentioned before, a focus on the public sector, on real estate finance, but also on the retail and corporate customers. And we are specialized with a very low risk profile. In the mortgage area, we finance classical and social infrastructure, multi and single family residential housing and real estate project. Our home markets are Lower Austria and Vienna, where we have a market share of approximately 25%, as you can see on slide 11. When we focus on the public sector, for example, more than 730 Austrian municipalities are our customers in the public sector, which is more than one third of all Austrian municipalities. In Lower Austria, more than 450 municipalities are our customers, 450 for a total of 573 municipalities. Our core markets are Austria and Germany, and this is the area where we do most of our business. On slide 12, we present our strong ratings. We have, S&P has just recently confirmed our strong single A rating with a stable outlook. Our covered bond ratings are AA1 by Moody's, and we are also very proud of our sustainability ratings. So we have received the C+ prime rating from ISS ESG, which is a consequence of our sustainability program outlined on the next slide, on slide 13. Also, due to our business model, we mainly finance projects with social value added, such as green buildings or social infrastructure and public infrastructure. We consequently try to reduce our own eco footprint, and we are also a very responsible employer, providing stable and secure jobs in the region, and get a lot of measures for our employees so that they can work here in a very motivated manner. We live and we work according to strong ethical guidelines and business principles with positive criteria, also with exclusion criteria as displayed on slide 14. Due to the sake of time, I don't want to go through it in detail. And we also try to make a significant contribution to the sustainable development goals is shown on slide number 15 in the different areas as displayed. When you participated in last year's earnings call, I also presented the concept for our branch offices. As you can see on the next slide, on slide 16, we try to provide very detailed personal advice on real estate financing or, for example, on retirement planning in a very welcoming, feel-good atmosphere, thanks to natural, environmentally friendly materials. Example, as you can see on the photo of a branch office, is shown here on the slide 16. We have won numerous prizes for this concept and also for our services. A few of them are shown here also on the slide in the right-hand box. Let's come to our business segment on slide 17. You can see the different segments by assets. By far the largest business segment by assets is the public finance with 46%, followed by real estate finance, 21% of our total assets, followed by the treasury with the bonds we need to hold, 17%, and finally retail and corporate customers with 15%. A very well diversified picture shown when you look at the operating income, where all segments more or less have the same contribution to our profits. When we go a little bit into more detail, then let's start with the public sector displayed on slide 18. Our main customers are, of course, the state of Lower Austria, the city of Vienna, public and local authorities, but also religious communities and institutions. And we provide them all kinds of products, standard lending business, structured finance, such as leasing, public-private partnerships, forfeiting, but also public loan management and all the payment transactions. We try to also do more business outside Vienna and Lower Austria, and we are quite successful in this area. So as I mentioned before, more or less a third of all Austrian municipalities are already our customers. When we look at the real estate segment, this is shown on slide 19. We have a very well diversified portfolio by country and also by asset class. We focus very much on low risk housing development in Austria, and the portfolio contributes to further risk and also to earnings diversification. We see a not so easy development in this year, in the upcoming year, due to the higher interest rates, but that we had a very strong performance in the last year. When we look at the different classes, so we are very optimistic that logistics, office, and retail parks are still very strong, and also the housing sector in Austria is still a very strong sector. On slide 20, you have a more detailed information about the retail and the corporate customer segment. We still have 27 branch offices in Lower Austria and in Vienna. We are experts on the mortgages and housing solutions, and we provide a comprehensive range of services for corporate customers. We focus on Lower Austria and Vienna, but also the rest of Austria and a little bit in Germany. Our core competence is, of course, mortgage financing and customer in the corporate sector. Our customer service teams are strong in the SME business and also for the large corporates. We have a specialized team for structured transactions and for product solutions, and especially for subsidized loans and export finance. And with this short overview on our business side, I hand over now to my colleague Udo Birkner, what this means in performance and in figures.
Wolfgang, thank you very much. Good afternoon from my side. A very warm welcome as well to St. Költen. It's a very sunny afternoon in March, early March. We turn to page 22 on performance to our profit and loss statement. As you can see, we showed profit for the year in the range of 61.2 million before tax, 47.1 million after tax, which is a very healthy increase from 54, respectively, 41.9 in the previous period. Performance comes from three main effects, basically increasing operating results, 64.9 to 65.3, decreasing loan loss provisions, 10.7 to 3.7 million, and stable administrative expenses around 102 million, which only increased due to the fact that we had a very strong contribution to the European Resolution Fund, which was 3 million higher than in 2021. Particularly important is the increase in net interest income. We have a slight decrease in net fee and commission income due to one-time effects related to public home building loan servicing, which we are doing for the province of Austria. We see healthy net other operating income at 2.4 million, and we can see slight, very small losses on investments, which was due to a certain depreciation in the value of our participation in Niederösterreich Immobilien Development GmbH, which was due to cash flow based valuation due to increasing interest levels. You can also see that the risk result is particularly low with 3.7 million. We do build risk provisions, but we also resolve risk provisions on a regular basis. 3.7 million is, I think, at around two to three basis points of our loan book. You can see that ultimately the profit before tax results into a return on equity of 8%. 8%, this is the result of profit before tax, 61.5 over roughly 760 million equity in the bank. Page 23 gives you detail on a very healthy operational performance. You see that our operating income again increased. We see this now for the sixth consecutive year. We managed to increase our operating income. We managed to decrease our operating expenses. You see a slight increase on 2021. In, I think, 2012, 2013, we had roughly 128 million. Since we reorganized the bank, we are now down at 91.1 million. This results in a very advantageous cost income ratio of 52%. Page 24 gives you detail on the historic development. As you can see, we came down from 84% down to 52%, primarily because we managed to build up operating income and control strictly our operating expenses. On page 25, a quick look at our balance sheet. Perhaps strategically most important, the fact that we managed to have a very large stake of our balance sheet of our assets in our loan book, 13.9 billion, breaks down into 12.5 billion loans, 1.4 billion bonds. We have a balance sheet of 15.1 billion. We paid back a huge chunk of TLTRO, as most of our colleagues did as well. So if you look at financial assets at cost over balance sheet total, that is a very healthy 92% we managed to put into our income earning assets. Coming to page 26, a quick look at our capital position. You see that we have stable risk-weighted assets at around 3.4 billion. That is primarily due to the fact that we enjoy a huge privilege in a zero weight in our public sector loan book. Overall solvability, which equals in our case CET1 ratio, is at stands at 20.52%, which is even above our target range of 17 to 19% for core equity tier 1. We see this as a very strong contribution to the forthcoming Basel IV effects that are expected for 2025, when we reckon roughly something of 600 to 800 million risk-weighted assets contribution. That means a drop of around 2.5% in overall solvability. Very well prepared for that, and we look forward to having a continued presence in real estate also in the time of Basel IV. Page 27 shows that we could even broaden the distance between total solvability equals core equity tier 1 and capital requirements. Capital requirements stand at 12.54%, 8% plus capital conservation buffer, 2.5% systemic risk buffer, 0.5% countercyclical capital buffer, 0.04%, and we managed again to decrease our SREP contribution from 1.6 to 1.5%. There were no notices sent to us during the COVID-19 pandemic. We received a new Bescheid, as we call it in Austrian, a new order that we have to provide 1.5% for SREP. That is very easy because between us and the total of 12.54, again, 8 percentage points. Risk and portfolios. Always interesting to speak about the risk profile of a bank. It is not that spectacular when you turn to our bank. We have three quarters of our loan book. We have roughly in public finance, leasing, housing development, and treasury. So three quarters we run with virtually an NPL ratio of zero. The 0.07, the learned listener to our telephone conversations on an annual basis knows that this goes back to one of the districts of Athens, which we still hold in NPL. But it is virtually zero in these three quarters of our balance sheet. The result actually provides for the 1% NPL quota that we are showing in housing and commercial real estate, Austria, real estate project finance, retail customers, corporate customers, and corporate center. Page 30 shows our loan loss provisions. We kept them constant at around 91 million. The difference between 2022 and 2021 is the fact that the majority 2021 was in stage one and stage two, namely 51.7 million, with the remaining 39.8 in stage three. We slightly increased this to 46.5 in stage three, leaving 43.4 in stage one and in stage two. Correspondingly, in basis points, meant a decrease from 137 to 118 basis points for stage one and stage two, which makes us a very positive outlier in that dimension, I think. When you look at 44 million stage one and stage two, that actually goes back to the pandemic, as well as the economic challenges in 2022, when we ramped up particularly, in particular, our stage two loan loss provisions. Page 31 shows our portfolio by segment. You see more than 50%, 53% in the public sector, 25% real estate. You see by country a very strong part in Austria, namely 87%, 95%, and growing in Euro NPL ratio, I think we are slightly coming to a more normal situation. We're showing 1.02% NPL ratio at the end of 2022. Particularly, this is true to the increasing interest environment with slight increase in the NPL portfolio, given the higher contributions to debt service, higher requirements for debt service. We are still very fond of granularity in our securities portfolio. You can see our breakup by sector, focusing on, no wonder, on banks and sovereigns, by country on Austria, France, Canada, Norway. Here it becomes more heterogeneous. So you can see, for example, Canada, very proud of that fact. We are really going global in our securities portfolio because we break down our stakes in the various banks and countries with great detail, in that way, increasing the granularity of our bond portfolio. And by rating, a very healthy focus on AA, AAA issuers. Liquidity coverage ratio in percent slightly came down. As you noticed, we paid back more than 50% of our TLTRO stakes, now holding roughly 900 million. TLTRO was great fun for European banks, a great help for sovereign European banks, I think, and we used it also very wisely. Funding, in closing, we are well funded also in the beginning of 2022. We have issued the first 500 million green senior preferred benchmark bond already in January 2023. We see that prices are increasing, so we are following markets closely. We enjoyed a very good life in 2022. You can see that we issued, we started in April 2022 with a benchmark in green senior preferred. We followed with a mortgage bank benchmark in May and with a public sector benchmark in September. In terms of volumes, refinancing primarily comes from, as we call it here, debts evidenced by certificates, Pfandbriefe. That's what we were initially founded for, actually. Public sector and mortgage-covered bonds, 4.7 billion. That equals roughly eight to nine benchmark bonds that we are holding, and unsecured bonds, 3.3 billion, five to six. When you break down between public sector and mortgage bonds, you see that we have a very stronghold in public sector mortgage business in Austria. Yes, thank you very much. Key contacts, I think wonderful photos, and we are open to questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. There are currently no questions. Oh, there one. There are coming some questions. The first question comes from Sverre Holberg from DusNet Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you for the presentation, and thank you for taking my question. My name is Sverre Holberg from Danske Bank. I just had a question on the deposit situation. I can see that it has gone down a bit during 2022. Can you provide some background for that, and also how you view the future on this? Thank you.
The deposits are pretty stable, actually. It came down by 2%, if I see it correctly. Overall, our strategy is here to more or less maintain a stable deposit basis.
No, sorry, I just saw on your funding base, you have 4.9.
Oh.
Down to 4.5 during 2022.
4.9 down to 4.5.
Yes, just wondering.
I think that was more a profitability issue, because we were hugely over-liquid with our TLTRO. We had TLTRO in the amount of 2 billion, which we actually did not make use of. So we gave more leeway, actually, to savings deposits. That will or has already changed now. We are working more closely also on savings. The 4.5 million might go up again as we require it. It's actually very easy because you can pay again for deposits, and we will continue to pay back TLTRO.
Okay, thanks for that. Maybe just a follow-up question, if I may. How the competitive situation on deposits? Do you see your competitors also starting to pay up a bit for deposits, or how do you see that, and how do you expect that to unfold as we look further into 2023 with the rates coming higher as well, potentially? Thank you.
There's only a slight increase currently in Austria on the deposit side on the rates. So as I mentioned before, it's quite stable, and we have a very close look at the market and try to be in the market.
Okay, thanks for that.
The next question comes from Jos Bäumont from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for the clear presentation. I'm Jos Bäumont, the head of bank research at ABN AMRO. I have also some questions about this year, as I'm interested to hear your thoughts about, for instance, the mortgage market. We do see already bank tightening conditions, demand weakening. So what do you expect that will happen to the mortgage portfolio? And also maybe with the cost of living crisis, do you see already households getting into trouble in paying their mortgage? And are there things you do implement to help these households? And maybe also a bit related to cost, the cost side of things, with inflation and funding costs, of course, all rising. How have you factored that into your expectations for this year? Thank you.
Thank you for this question. We had a strong start into the year 2023. But as you mentioned correctly, on the mortgage business side, we had a decrease when you compare, for example, January 2022 to January 2023 by 50%. This is due to the very strict procurement rules implemented by the Austrian authority. And we would expect that this decrease will go on in more or less this area for the whole year. But we are also quite optimistic that we can do significant business in other sectors. We see very strong demand in the public finance business. We see strong demand on the corporate side, so that we, for the time being, we are very optimistic that on the earnings side, 2023 should also be a strong year, as you can say, or as far as we look back on the first 2 months of this year.
On the risk side, everything is stable. So, with an increase to 2.3-3 percentage points in interest levels, this is easily sustainable for retail customers in Austria, so this is not a big issue. We also do have fixed interest rate loans in place. On the cost side, real estate prices came to a halt due to regulatory work by FMA, by our financial watchdog in Austria. This is a big pity for the market side. It means that basically we will not see a lot of risk costs on the downturn side. The transactions are less frequent at stable levels, basically.
Okay, thank you.
The